go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And I will walk you through from verse 24 and stop at verse 31. John 20, from verse 24 to verse 31. Just follow along. I'll take some liberty with the translation for effect. But when you read that passage, this is what you see. John 20, from verse 24 to 31. This is where you encounter the doubting Thomas. Not a very, very good legacy to leave behind as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But that's what you get. I'm giving you time to find that passage. John 20, from verse 24 to 31. Once you have it, this is how it might read. Thomas, also called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, or put my finger in them, unless I put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, the disciples were all in the house, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors of the house were all locked and shut, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Then Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, Jesus did many more miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life. These are the words that we read 1 week after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it would be a Sunday such as today. One of the things and the questions that I keep on hearing being raised, especially to me as somebody who wrestles with these ideas, but also in a normal day-to-day conversation, is this. In light of the coronavirus, in light of COVID-19, where is God in all of this? Where is his power in the midst of this pandemic? Where is his might in the midst of this meltdown? Where is his sovereignty in the midst of this shutdown? It is interesting to note that this is not the first time such a question was raised. In fact, Jesus himself faced a similar question when, after he had been put on trial before Pontius Pilate, they struck him and said, "Prophesy to us. If you're the Son of God, prophesy to us. Who hit you?" And then when he was hanging there on the cross, they said, "If you're the Son of God, Come down from the cross. Where is your God? That was the implication they were asking. Where is this God you trusted in? If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. If you are the Son of God, save yourself the way you saved others. You trusted in God. Let's see if he's going to bring you down from the cross. Jesus faced this question, except that it was in a different context. Let me tell you that it is quite possible that the answer to this question can be found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because had Jesus come down from the cross like he was challenged to do, we would never have known that he had power over death. That is why he decided to stay on the cross, not the only reason, but why he decided to stay on the cross and endure the torture of that cross and then allow himself to be buried and then rise again on the third day. He answered that question by rising again on the third day, that Jesus is able to show up in the midst of danger. He's able to show up in the midst of hostilities. He's able to show up in the midst of risky situations. And we find ourselves in risky situations where we are wondering where God is in all this situation. Bear in mind that the lockdown that you and I are living through is not the first time that people are going through. The disciples themselves were on lockdown. They were hiding because they knew that being out there was dangerous for them because they believed in Jesus. Being out there was risky for them because they trusted in Jesus. Being out there up and about was not exactly something they needed to do because they had been with Jesus, and those guys were looking for any associate of Jesus so that they too could get punished the way Jesus was punished. So they were on lockdown. And we are finding ourselves on lockdown, and we feel as if traveling out there by public means or going out in public places is risky for us. And we ask ourselves, where is Jesus in this situation? In the midst of that asking, in the midst of that questioning, Jesus rises from the dead and he begins to show up in the lives of the disciples. May I give you three areas where and why Jesus decides to show up. Jesus shows up to convince us, first of all, that he is alive. Secondly, he shows up to convince us he is available. And third, Jesus shows up to convince us that he is almighty. Let's begin with the first one. Jesus shows up to convince us he is alive. The disciples, when they saw Thomas, they said, "We have seen the Lord." Bear in mind, Thomas was not there when Jesus showed up. He was not available when Jesus showed up. Verse 24 says, "Now Thomas called Didymus was not with one of the 12 was not there when Jesus was with the disciples." And so the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas is unconvinced. In verse 25, he begins to spit out his doubt and he says, "Hey, look, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, unless I put my finger in there, unless I reach out on his side and put my finger into his side, I will not believe that Jesus is alive," because in Thomas's own worldview, there's no way you could be alive with those wounds in you. There's no way you could be alive with the wounds of crucifixion on you, with a spear that had been thrust on your side now pulled out. There's no way you could have done that. So for Thomas, Jesus to be alive, he had to be a living miracle in the sense that the wounds that could actually have killed him would remain in place while Jesus is walking. Bear in mind that this is not a situation where, like you would equate with a plane crash, and somebody surviving the plane crash. You could not equate this with a sinking ship and someone jumping off the ship to survive, or someone who's running away from bullets, dodging bullets, and then he survives. You cannot compare this with that, because if a ship was a cross, if the cross was a ship, Jesus would have drowned in that ship and come out alive. If a cross was a plane crash, Jesus would have crashed in that plane crash and come out alive. If a cross was a war zone where Jesus was running away from a bullet, the bullets would have gotten Jesus and they would have killed him, and then he would have risen again from the dead. So you cannot equate this with escaping catastrophe. You have to equate it with living through the catastrophe, having that catastrophe getting a hold of you and killing you, and you rising again to defeat that catastrophe. So where's Jesus in the midst of all this? May I suggest to you that in the midst of the shutdown, Jesus is alive. In the midst of the lockdown, Jesus is alive. In the midst of the pandemic, Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's not inert. He's not inactive. He is alive. And Jesus shows up to convince us he is alive, first of all. Secondly, Jesus shows us not only to convince us he's alive, but also to convince us he's available. Remember, Thomas is saying, unless I see not only him, but the wounds in his hands, and unless I not only see, but touch those wounds, and reach out onto the side and touch that wound that was caused by the spear thrust on his side. Unless I reach out and touch that, unless he presents himself to me and I investigate for myself, there's no way I'm going to believe that he's alive. And Jesus, we are told in verse 26, when the disciples were shut down, locked down in a house, he comes in their midst. And the first thing he does after greeting them by saying, peace be with you, he turns to Thomas and says, put your finger on my hand. See my hands? Reach out and touch my side and put your finger in there. You asked for me? Here I am. I'm available. You wanted to see my wounds? Here they are. They're available. You wanted to touch my side? Here I am. I'm available. Jesus is saying that in the midst of all these situations, not only is he alive, he's available. He's there. He's not distanced from us. He's not detached from us. He's not removed from us. He's not very far away from us. He is close by. He is nearby. He is at hand. He is available. One of the stories that I think powerfully illustrates this was given to me by a pastor friend of mine. He used to be in Dallas, now he's in Minnesota. And I told him, could I use this? It's a story of that happened about two, maybe 3 weeks ago, of a 93-year-old man who contracted that disease, the coronavirus, was put on a breathing machine for 14 days, and he survived. When he came out, he was told the bill for this breathing machine and for us having to put you through this is $500. He paused for a moment and said, wow, $500. Wow. And he said this, if it costs me $500 to pay for a machine that sustained me for 14 days, it will have to cost me my whole heart to pay back to God for sustaining me for 93 years because he's been available in my life. Folks, when you're removed from God, when you feel God is far away, may I encourage you to reach out to him in prayer. He's not too far away from you. Establish spiritual contact with him in prayer. Establish spiritual contact with him in worship. Establish spiritual contact with him, even in forums such as this, because God is still showing up. But there's a third reason why Jesus is showing up. Jesus shows up, first of all, to convince us he is alive. Secondly, to convince us he's
Sophie, Dr. O is muted. Sophie, Dr. O is muted. If you could just take care of that for us.
Miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. Which God? The Almighty God, the all-powerful God, the omnipotent God. He is the Son of God. And by implication, he is Almighty God. And that by believing, you may have life in him. We are being told that Jesus, being the Son of God, is God. Being the Son of the Almighty God is Almighty. Being the Son of God, he is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He has all the power. He has all the strength. He is Almighty. It is because he is Almighty that he cannot be asked. It is because he is benevolent. He cannot be broken. Because his cause cannot be conquered. His divinity cannot be defeated. His existence cannot end. His force cannot be finished. His greatness cannot be dashed. His holiness cannot be hacked. His infinity cannot be impeached. His kingship cannot be killed. His lordship cannot be limited. His majesty cannot be mimicked. His necessity cannot be nulled. His omnipotence cannot be overridden. His power cannot be pacified. His quintessence cannot be quashed. His reign cannot be rivaled. His sovereignty cannot be stifled. His transcendence cannot be terminated. His ubiquity cannot be unraveled. His vastness cannot be voided. And his xylolatry, the xylolaters cannot xerox him. His work cannot be wasted. And as Yahweh, he cannot yield because his seal cannot be zapped. He is God. He is King. He is Lord. He is mighty. God shows up in all places. God shows up in all situations. So if you are asking, where is God in all of this? Here is my answer. He is showing up to convince you he is alive, to convince you he is available, and to convince you he is Almighty. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.